Well, good evening and good morning whenever you're watching this. This is Dr. Leroy Thompson, Jr. Welcome back to Alliance of Honorable Men. Glad to be with you. I have a few announcements. Of course, next week is exam week. My exams are open book exams. They'll be coming from this book, textbook, Alliance of Honorable Men. In this particular book, it'll be chapters 1 and 2. Okay, it'll be coming from chapters 1 and 2. On our exams, I have about 10 to 12 fill in the blank questions. They will come directly from those chapters. All right. The reason why I administer my exams that way is because I'm a believer in reading, and I want you to be prepared for when we do get into the chapters. You'll have a head start as to know which direction that we'll be going in. You'll have read the chapters. At least I know you'll have read them, because the only way you can pass the exams is by reading those chapters. So the exam will be on chapters 1 and 2. That'll be next week. Next announcement I have is our training center is going through a transition with the software that we're using. So we want to make the transition as easy and as concise as possible. Over the weekend, you'll receive some information about the new system that we'll be using. You don't panic. You'll be able to use it. It's very simple. We'll make sure that you're able to use it. So our exams next week will be on a new system. Power School, we were using them, but we had to move on from them. And we're using a new system now that will be more efficient, easier for you to use. And it'll be better overall. So you'll be receiving some information over the weekend that will help you get acclimated for the exam next week. My exam won't be a timed exam. It will open on, I think, a Monday evening, and it won't close till the following Monday at midnight. Of course, it's open book. Now, here's a tip. I want you to get the PDF, print it out, read the questions, and then read the chapter. That way, when you read the questions, you already have in mind what I'm looking for. What this does, this is gonna make you read attentively, looking for those sentences. When you look for those sentences, it makes you read with the intent to remember. And so there's a method to the madness behind my exams. And so I want you to print out the PDF, have it in front of you before you read the chapters. Therefore, when you see the statement, you will have read the exam. You see the statement in the chapter, and you can fill it in and then come back and answer it on the platform. So that's just a little test taking a hint for you. Bless you. Last week we were together. Last time we were together, I began to explain to you how we as the children of God have to shift from a self-centric point of view of the Bible to a God-centric point of view, meaning we have to read the scriptures not from a point of view of what God can do for us, but from a point of view of what God wants from us. What does he want? We read Hebrews 11 and 1. We began to define what faith is. We began to give an apostolic definition of faith. We started in Romans, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. It says, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, for God has dealt to every man their measure of faith, or the measure of faith, very specific. Their measure of faith, or their part of faith, or their part of the assignment. So I hope you caught on to what I said last time. Some of you may have done it, may have done it. Some of you may have not done it, but you will do yourself justice if you take the word assignment and put it everywhere you see the word faith. It will literally change the way you see the word of God. We even went to Hebrews 11 and 1 and realized that the hope in Hebrews 11 and 1 is not talking about our hope. It's talking about the future plans. Hope is future plans, some goals, something happening in the future. It was actually talking about the future plans of God. So when you really read Hebrews 11 and 1 properly, it says, now in this present moment, my assignment, my obedience to God, what God wants, brings to reality the dreams of God. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So when we hear the voice of God and we obey the voice of God, it brings to reality God's dreams, which then open the door for everything else to happen that he desired and that what we want. You know, that sixth verse in Hebrews 11 says, but without, watch how it makes sense, but without my assignment, it's impossible for me to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you see in that sixth verse, it says, but without, watch how it makes sense, but without my assignment, if I don't know what God wants, it's hard for me to please him. Think about it like this. Your children, your spouse, your siblings, if they don't know what you want, if they don't know what you like, and they keep doing things to you and buying things for you that you don't like or don't want, because they don't know. It's impossible to please you. So if we don't know what God wants, it's impossible to please him. That's what that scripture means. So without my assignment, without me knowing what God wants, it's impossible for me to please him. Right? Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10. Because I want to spend these first classes talking about faith and how it's not really about us. It's about him. We've been taught to use faith as a tool to get what we want rather than a tool to accomplish what God wants. See, that's what makes Matthew 6:33 so powerful. Matthew 6:33, let's start at the 32nd verse. We'll come back to Rome. Let's go to Matthew's the sixth chapter. Watch this. Matthew's the sixth chapter. We'll start at the 32nd verse. Because the 32nd verse will give us insight as to what the 33rd verse is talking about. So in Matthew, the sixth chapter, in the 32nd verse, Jesus talking, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What do the Gentiles seek? The Gentiles, they're not seeking Jesus. They don't know they need Jesus. They're not seeking spiritual things because they're carnal. So the Bible says, for the Gentiles do seek after, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now watch what it says. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have, did you see that word? Need of all these things. Wow. So what God is saying, what Jesus is saying is whatever the Gentiles are going after, what they're seeking after, God already knows we have need of all those things. So whatever the Gentiles seek after, God already knows we have need of all those things. Not want. Not that we want those things. We have need. God. So that means God not only wants you to prosper, he needs you to prosper. God knows you have need of all these things. Just Jesus saying it now. So watch this. The 33rd verse, very important word. The very first word is very important because it puts us in a certain frame of mind. It says, but. Now, what does the word but do? It eliminates everything that was previously said. So we know the Gentiles seek after certain things. The Heavenly Father knows you have need of all those things. But. In other words, all that is irrelevant. Because after but is what's relevant, what's important. It says in verse 33, but forget the 32nd verse. God knows you have need of all those things. So I have to go, you're going to get to it. I don't have to go to asking God for all this stuff. I don't have to go to God begging for all this stuff that the Gentiles seek after, which are carnal things, money, houses, good comfort, good life, the good life. I don't have to go to God asking God for that stuff. Or begging God for that stuff because he knows I have need of all those things. So eliminate those things from my purview, from my focus. So what should be in my focus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God or God's ways of doing things and his righteousness. Another way to say that, and his right way to do things. What you mean his right way to do things? Well, there is your right way to do things, and then there's his right way to do things. Give you an example. We all know it's right to give. We know it's right to give. But if you give what you want and not what God wants, then you did the right thing, but were you righteous? Were you in a position of righteousness? Oh, yeah, Jesus died on the cross and put you in a position of righteousness. Jesus put you in a position where you can put you in a position where you can hear God's voice and do what he's asking you to do. Remember, righteousness is a position. It doesn't mean that you did things righteously. It puts you in a position to do things righteously. Are you seeing the difference? I want you to begin to change mentality. We're talking apostolic here. We're talking about putting you in motion. We're talking about putting you to do things God has called you to do. So it says, seek ye first God's ways of doing things and doing them his way right. And what's going to happen? What it says, and all these things, what things? The things that the Gentiles are seeking after will be added unto you. Why? Because God knows you have need of all these things. Are you seeing this? So go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. Remember now, our word faith, another word, our word for faith is? Right, assignment. Assignment. Romans, the 10th chapter. Watch this. This scripture will change your life. Now that you begin to take, on your own time, just run a reference on the word faith, and everywhere you see the word faith, put the word assignment and watch how it changes your life. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17. It says, so then what cometh? Faith cometh, or so then our assignment cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is where 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 6, where it says, study to show, 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is where you have to study the word of God. This is where you understand the setting, when this was written. If you haven't yet, if you don't have one, you need to get a strong concordance. What is a strong concordance? A strong concordance is it takes words in the Old Testament and New Testament, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. As I explained earlier, if I haven't, I can explain it now. Those languages were designed differently than English. They call them Romantic languages, which means had body English, or body motions, or body or settings involved with certain words. You can say the same word in three different, and the same word will mean three different things depending on the situation, depending on the environment, depending on the body language. So sometimes we read the Bible with our English or Western Hemisphere thought process and miss the whole concept of what the Bible is talking about. So therefore, the strong concordance takes the Old Testament, takes words in the Old Testament and breaks them down to what it really means as close as possible to the Hebrew. And it does the same thing for the New Testament. So on the surface, reading this scripture in our Western Hemisphere thought process, it would seem as if the Apostle Paul is writing and says, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What is the word of God? This is the word of God. Yes, this is one. Watch this. This is one aspect of the word of God. But in this scripture, you will learn when you get a strong concordance, you'll realize that in this particular passage, the phrase word actually means rhema. You will see two different in the New Testament. You see logos. Every time you see the word, the phrase word, it will either be logos or rhema. Logos is meant the written word of God. Rhema, it means a fresh or live word of God spoken from his mouth. So now, if you read this, just surface without studying. It says, so then your assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you will read this and think you'll think this alone will bring your assignment. Mm-mm, that's not it. It actually says, so then my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing a live word from God. Because that phrase word is translated rhema in this particular instance. So it's really saying, so then my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God. So I cannot just have the logos and think I'm going to find out what God wants. I have to spend time with him. Go to John, the sixth chapter. Keep your finger in Romans, the 10th chapter. Go to John, the sixth chapter. John, the sixth chapter. Glory to God. Praise God. I hope you're learning something. John, the sixth chapter and the 63rd verse. Now, this gives us a definition of rhema, this 63rd verse. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So here Jesus, written in red, Jesus saying, Jesus is telling us that there are going to be some time that God speaks to us and gives us instructions. These are the words that will give us life. Those are the words that will contain spirit or aliveness or power, the ability to get things accomplished. See, a lot of times you wonder how you've been dealing with certain things, and you've been reading scriptures and you've been quoting scriptures, but it seems like the situation won't do nothing. It's because you're supposed to take those scriptures and meditate and spend time with the logos until the rhema becomes prevalent or becomes noticeable or becomes recognizable. See, that's Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Why does your mind need to be renewed? So that you can prove. Prove simply means recognize the good and acceptable and perfect. You can recognize the voice of God. Go back to Romans, the 10th chapter. So it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by the voice of God. So your assignment does not come from the logos. It comes from the rhema. The importance of the logos is to put us in a position to receive rhema. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're understanding this. See, so a lot of times we've been trying to use faith to get what we want, when the first objective of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. If you can bring to pass the dreams of God, you can get what you want. Because he said, seek first my ways of doing things and doing them my way right, and I will add all these things to you. Psalms 37 and 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Thoughts of peace. Everything in its place, nothing broken. Not of evil. To get you in an expected place. My God, what would happen to you if you stop using your faith to get what you want and embrace your faith to bring to pass the dreams of God? Did you hear that? What if you stop using your faith to get what you want and embrace your faith, embrace your assignment to bring to pass what God wants? How many needs do you think will be fulfilled in a short period of time? See, the number one objective of your faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. Can you imagine what will happen to you when you start bringing the dreams of God to pass? Go back to Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter. Watch this now. I'm going to read Hebrews 11th chapter a certain way, and I want you to think about these Bible characters like we've been reading about so long. Now think about, you see why they were so successful. It says, by faith or by assignment, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I did this last time, but I want to do it again because I want you to see the importance of it. By assignment, that means Abel knew what God wanted and Cain didn't. Cain did what he wanted for God. Hear that. Cain did it what he wanted for God. Abel did what God wanted. Oh, that's a difference. There's a difference. See, you got to put yourself in a position to where you're doing what God wants, not what you want to do for God. See, that's how a lot of people get things don't happen for them. That's why they face situations they can't overcome, because they're doing what they want for God instead of doing what God wants. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham did what he, verse 8. It says by faith. Look what it says. Through faith, through assignment, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Wow. And the Bible says these all died in assignment. My God. The question is, are you? That's why the Apostle Paul said, I've finished my course. I've run my race. In other words, he said, I've done what God asked me to do. A lot of times we just use that phrase thinking it applies to everybody. They use it on funeral programs. They use it to talk about people. But the question is, did they really do what God asked them to do? Did they really finish their course? Did they really run the race? Or they just run it? What does God want? God, what do you want with me? God, why do you have me? Why do you have me in this certain place? God, why did you open the door for me to get this job? God, why did you put me in this church? God, why? What is it you want with me, God? What is it that you want with me, God? What are you after, God? What is on inside of me that you want to pull on the outside of me? Why have you connected me to this man or woman of God? Why, God? Why? What? What is it that you want? That's faith, because now you're going after what God wants. I'm going to take one more class after this, and we're going to run a reference on the word ask and see that we've been all wrong about asking. We're so busy asking God for what we want that we rarely ask God what he wants. And everywhere you see the word ask, when it pertains to you talking to God, somewhere around those scriptures, you'll see where it's talking about finding out his will and not trying to get what you want. See, your faith now, your faith in the mid two classes we've had, listening to this training center with the other instructors, your faith should have taken an about face turn, should have gained strength, should have gained confidence. Because now you realize that your faith is not supposed to be just used to get what you want. The purpose, the ultimate objective, the number one objective of your faith is to please God. The number one objective of your assignment is to do what he wants. Remember Matthew 6:3. When you do what he wants, he will add all these things to you. One more scripture. Go back to Matthew's the sixth chapter. Now watch this. Jesus gave us an example or a framework of how to pray. Reverend Thompson is teaching you how to pray. Is teaching you how to book prayer. And you're going to see that prayer is not for you to entertain God on what you want. You can find out that prayer is trying to work get your mind right to hear what God wants. Watch what Matthew 6 says. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. We all know this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm closing on the scripture, and I'm closing with this question, because it has to do with faith. Run reference on Jesus through the Gospels and ask and tell me, when do you ever hear Jesus asking for something personal? You don't see it in his prayer. Jesus tells us to pray after this manner. What you will always, if you hear Jesus talking to God and asking for something, it will always be what it takes to complete what you've asked me to do. You will always hear, that's the only time you will ask, see Jesus asking God for anything. He always asks God for whatever it took to complete his assignment. Next time we get together, we're going to run reference on the word assignment. I mean, on the word ask in the Bible. I'm going to take you to Matthew's 11th chapter. We're going to see Jesus operating in faith. Because Jesus said in Mark 11:24, he says, have faith in God, or have your assignment in God, or have your assignment come from God. And I'll show you next week why, the week after. We have an example this week, next week. But I will show you the week after what he was talking about. So again, don't forget exams next week. Our exam is on chapters 1 and 2. My exam is open book. It'll be open all week long. And don't forget to be looking for the information this weekend on how to take your exams next week, because we will not be on PowerSchool. We'll be on a new system. And you'll see exactly, it'll be easy for you to do. We will have grace and mercy with you on the exam, so don't panic. If you don't do things right, I may even keep the exams open 2 weeks for you all. I may even let some of you take the exam over with no penalty, so that we can make sure you understand what's going on. Now, the quality of the teaching will not change. It's just we're working on some back office stuff, but you should see only change you should see is where you go to take your exams, where you're watching videos, and how you're taking attendance quizzes. So, but it'll be a very easy transition. Thank you so much for coming to the school and attending the classes, and I look forward to seeing you the week after exams. Be blessed.